there, he did remember that there was time. And he repented. He remembered that there was time for him to worship God, that there was time to pray. And he prayed and prayed and prayed for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is just something that will always, I will always remember with Greg Hanna. He was faithful. He was faithful. He would, on a regular basis, he would show up. We once learned that he came to a few men's conferences and men's retreats that we would have. And one of them that we went to, we learned about this fight that we're in, the fight of the faith that we're in. This fight is a fixed fight in that we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Because he believed that Jesus already died and overcame death for us and gave us the victory. So we want to show up. Now, don't get me wrong. We still have to show up, even though it is a fixed fight and already been won. We still have to show up. I don't know about you, but I'm not forfeiting anything. But Greg would show up. Greg made it his business to show up, to make time and show up. So while there is time, and we can make time to be in the presence of God, while we're making time to remember Greg, while we're making time to memorialize him, while we're making time to celebrate his life, I believe he will want us to make time to be in the presence of God, to make time to believe in God, to make time to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank you for coming, and I'm so glad to be a friend of Greg Hanna. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Later on, I want to sing Amazing Grace, if you could get the words for that ready. Praise the Lord. Let me read a portion of Scripture. The 23rd Psalm, a very familiar portion of Scripture to many of us. Psalm 23, beginning at verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is a celebration of life. Celebration that Greg did live life, and he lived in his life. In living, he found his maker. Amen. He found who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. Let me present to you to this a time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2. It says this: to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. It's harvest time. We're here today to remember our good friend. I consider him family. He was at my house often. We had very good times together. Greg Hanna. Yes, he was a father, a son, brother, friend, church family member. To many, he was many things. In a spiritual nature, Apostolic Lighthouse, this local assembly was his home church. He was a part of us. Not somebody that just attended. Not somebody that just came once in a while. But I tell you, he was part of us. A part of our church family. I have been Greg's pastor since 2020. Like I said, we met. And maybe it was Andre's card that sent him over this way. And I just met him in the parking lot as he pulled in. I didn't realize that until today. But Greg showed up. And then he showed up again and again and again. He just kept showing up. Greg was very, very special. Yes, Greg had his ups and his downs. He had his weaknesses in his flesh. You know, he had a problem with diabetes in his body. But in his spirit, he absolutely believed in God. He absolutely had faith in God. Amen. He had a, as Andre had mentioned, an unusual, if you will, sense of humor. He could turn sometimes a tense or an uncomfortable situation into humor with like three words. I mean, he could do it. He could turn it around in a flash. He had probably 1,000 different ideas for T-shirts. He was going to make T-shirts. He wore some T-shirts. Let me leave it at that. Those who know him know what I'm talking about. He could be funny, but he was real. He could use that humor to put realness into the conversation. He had a very special talent for that. And I can also witness to the fact that Greg was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and switch it over to the baptismal picture. That's me. That's Brother Crowder, our evangelist. Fred there in the background. Greg was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that baptismal tank right there. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, from that moment on, you become new. From that moment on, there's something very special. You see the verse of Scripture right behind me, Acts 2:38, it's hanging on the wall. Repent and be baptized. Greg repented. He talked to God, told God he was sorry for the sin in his life. God, he had a way of communicating with God in prayer. He did pray. And then when he repented, he got baptized, just as it says in that verse of Scripture. And that verse of Scripture tells us why people get baptized. Greg was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That means that God paid for Greg's sin when he was baptized. That the name of Jesus, the blood that Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, That payment from his death on the cross was laid and applied to the life of Greg Hanna when he was baptized in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I celebrate that. I celebrate the fact that Greg had a very wonderful experience in God, that in his life he knew who Jesus is. He desired and agreed and was baptized right here. I baptized him. In that picture, it shows me baptizing him in that tank right there for the remission, the forgiveness, the removal, if you will, of the sin in his life. I celebrate that relationship with God. It's a very special place that people need to find. We need to find our place and right relationship with God. There were times, I was driving home from a general convention, and I got this kind of urgent voicemail from Brother Dyke. So you need to call me right away. Greg Hanna got the Holy Ghost. He was so excited. It was an emergency. Pull the fire alarm. You know, it's special because in our church, you know, we had prayed with Greg many times. Faithfully, he came to church often, frequently. Most of the time, Greg was here. But when Greg received the gift of the Holy Ghost, Brother Dyke was pulling the fire alarm. It's an emergency. You need to hear this message right away. I'll tell you what, it was special. It was very, very special. Amen. So I am firsthand witness that Greg had these experiences with God. He repented, got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He was filled with the Holy Ghost here in this church. He sang the worship songs that we sing. He lifted his hands and he prayed at this altar. And there were times that Greg gave of himself more than he personally had. Greg would sign up with the youth event. Now, youth in our church is a little bit lower than 58. But Greg would sign up for the youth events. And our youth would have a fundraiser called Move the Mission, and it helps missionaries, and it helps fund the youth camp, and, you know, it helps fund the activities for our youth, and so we support our youth. And Greg was such a supporter of that youth initiative, Move the Mission, that he would join in to the 5K walkathon. Man, he would get a sign-up sheet and go around and get sponsors to, you know, help sponsor the youth at my church. He was so excited about it. And you'd go to the walkathon, with some of the youth ran, some of the youth walked, and then there's Greg. You know, if you knew Greg, you knew how he walked, right? He kind of threw his shoulders back. He wasn't the first one across the line, but I tell you, he was faithful. Amen. And so his participation in events like that, you know, that is beyond himself. He didn't have any young people in that youth group. None of his personal children were a part of that youth group. But those teenagers in our youth group at this church, Greg cared about. He wanted to see them go to camp meeting. He wanted to see them be successful. He wanted to be a help and a part of their initiative in the work of the Lord. Greg gave of himself. He regularly attended our men's conferences. He was there early and stayed late, and he and I sat on the side. We were the two of the primary hecklers for the other old guys that are running around playing softball. Jump a little higher. Oh, you can get the next one. But that was our job. You know, we didn't run around on the field. But we were there. Amen. And we had a blast doing it. We had a lot of fun. Greg was very special. Greg would come to my house. We had prophecy teaching about the end time. And Greg was a faithful attendee to class. He was a student of the things of God. He had a desire to know what the Bible really said about things. He wanted to know what the Bible said about our salvation and even about our living, about our life. How should we live our life? And what's going to happen in our life? Well, the Bible will tell you a lot about what's going to happen and how to live. Greg was very interested in those things. He was very faithful to our classes. We had him at our church in the fellowship hall. We had him at my home in my living room. And no matter where we moved it to, he would find his way to that class, and he would be a partaker and a participant in all of those classes. And I think, I don't have a written record of who attended each class, but I believe Greg may be the most faithful attendee to all those classes. Then came time. Andre spoke of time. Time for the steps of this good man. He wasn't perfect. He was forgiven. He had a relationship with God. So the steps of this good man. Came time to cease. Greg went on to meet his maker, which he prepared for, which I say with full confidence that he had made preparations ahead of time to meet his maker. And we today are in a celebration of his life. I'm so glad. I cannot be sad for Greg Hanna. In fact, it gives me great joy to know what God had done in his life, how that God gave him a renewing of life. There's different ways, approaches that you could have a celebration of life. You could speak to the deceased. I could speak about Greg the whole time. Or you could speak to the living, those of us that are yet here because that we knew him. But I also believe, and what the path I'd like to take today is a third approach. I'd like to speak for God. What does God say about his life? About our living? You see, Greg trusted me and other ministers in our church to speak to him. He trusted us. We had a relationship. There was a closeness there. And I believe, because I knew him well, that he would have wanted me to speak the things of God to you as well. Oh, I don't mean it arrogantly. You see, God is able to speak for himself. The Word of God is already established. And each of us, I believe, or I hope, have a relationship with God ourselves. To whatever level that you have, I believe that God is able to speak to you. Yet, God seems to want someone to speak for Him, of Him. God even calls men to do so. Preachers, pastors, teachers, and saints of God in the household of the Lord are called and chosen to speak the things of God. God told Moses in Exodus 7, verse 2, "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee." Leviticus 24:15, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying," God told men to speak of Him to people. He told Joshua in Joshua 4, verse 10, "The Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua." There was a command to speak the things of God. Jesus left no explicit example of preaching a celebration of life service. I can't find in Scripture what I'm supposed to say at this event. But I can say what the Word of God says about Him. You see, every example in Scripture where Jesus attended an event similar to this, He disrupted the whole thing. It just got twisted around. It just got all turned upside down. Disrupted. The widow welcomed her son back to life through Jesus. They mocked Jesus when He said the young girl was asleep. His good friend, Lazarus, he even missed his service. Until later on, he proclaimed, "Lazarus, come forth." And he rose from the dead. Jesus has a way of disrupting our plans. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." God has a very special way of helping people, preachers, teachers, to speak the things of God. Yeah, you're not getting out of here without hearing something about the God that Jesus that Greg knew. And I'm absolutely certain He would want me to speak of Jesus here today. I don't have any qualms about it. It's what is right. Now, maybe you don't believe like I believe, but let's agree on this thing. Jesus split the calendar in two. There was a time before Christ, and there's a time now after Jesus Christ. We count the years as they pass. He split time. He made the difference in mankind. Every generation has men of God to speak to them. God wanted it that way. Here's an important point If you don't have a voice of God in your life, you need one. Because life has rhythms. It has ebbs, flows, tides, cycles. Sometimes it's down and sometimes it's up. And all the times in between, I can trust God with my life. There is a time to be born, I read in the opening scripture, and a time to die. Everything in our lives has a season, an ebb and a flow. It goes up and down. There's both good and bad things that happen in our lives. John chapter 21, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, I was young once, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Jumping down to verse 19. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. The greatest thing I've ever done in my whole life is find Jesus. Follow him is what you should do while you still can. While you're still among the living. But we are so busy coming and going and scurrying. Scripture even says buying, planting, building, marrying. We have careers, kids, people, families, friends, plans for retirement. That's my own. I put that in there. And so it is. Life is a complicated maze of twists and turns. It includes ups and downs, ebbs and flows. There's both good days and bad days. Occasionally, we need to step back and calculate. What have we done with our time? Between being born and between the time of our dying, what will be done with our time? Our time may seem long, but it's really very short. If you live to be 100, it's only a flash in the moment of time. It comes and it goes. It's here and it's gone. We don't know how much time we have. Nobody knows how long they will live. We all have 31,557,600 seconds each year. You need a calculator to make that happen. But we all got the same amount. And we can only spend it as it comes. People will say, well, I'm saving time. Well, not really. Time is going to tick away whether you're trying to save it or not. Time can slip away before you even realize it's gone. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Jesus said the thing to do is to follow him. John chapter 3 and verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There is a time to be born. And there should be a time to be born again. The book, the Bible, God says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. None of us can escape the truth. The truth is, our time is limited. Only you can get yourself ready. If it was up to me, I'd make sure everybody was ready right now. Right now, we need to be ready. I'm not guaranteed another day or more time. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I need to make myself ready right now. Greg knew that. And I'm sure that he wouldn't mind me here today reminding us of that very fact. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Yep. The reason we need to be born again is to prepare for that very meeting. We all will meet God. Are you ready for such an encounter? I trust we are. I want to be ready. Greg so much enjoyed coming to Apostolic Lighthouse, to this very church. This was his choice. He chose to come here. But this I am sure of. Our choices don't affect just us. They affect the people around us. They affect what we do, who we are, what we think, what we say, everything. I say to this gathering, to our friends, to our family members here, we need to get right with God. That's our job. That's your job for you, and it's my job for me. Too many of us are walking beneath our knowledge. We know things about God that we should be doing. And to others, perhaps there's more that you need to know about God. You want to find out about Him. It's not enough just to be a family member or a friend. We must love and serve Jesus Christ in order to be saved. According to Scriptures, Jesus is our Savior. And if this is not the appropriate time to mention it, when could you tell me would be the right time? Sooner or later, we will all come to the very same point, to that moment. We are celebrating the life that Greg had. I think he had wonderful experiences. He had a wonderful relationship. I think it was a good life. And at some point, a service like this may be held for us. Our time will come. And what will God's assessment of our life be? Oh, it's nice that men say, oh, he was a good guy. It's nice that family members say, oh, he was a good man. It's nice that people say good things about us. But that's not really the point. What will God say about us? That is what really matters. Will it be said he was a good man? Will it be said of me when my time comes? Will it be said that he was a good man? You know, what people say isn't really going to matter. It's what God says that will matter. What will God say when my time is up? So today, we have come to say goodbye to our friend, our family member. His time to live has now passed. It's the rhythm of creation. Life comes and life goes. We have someone baptized today, and then we have a celebration of life in the same day. We are sad because of our loss. It is we that have lost. We have lost a friend, a family member. We have lost our loved one. We have lost Greg. It is our loss. And yes, we grieve, we weep, we hurt. There's something deep inside that cries out. But even this, with the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will heal. Jesus Christ can heal our hurts, our wounds, our times of sorrow, can be comforted in knowing the Lord. We are sad because of our loss, but we will heal in Jesus. In fact, I pray that Jesus would give us, people here, healing and comfort, even though we have suffered this great loss. But life's rhythm for us will continue for a time. It is not how we die that we should dwell on. No, it's not the very moment of passing that is the exclamation point. It's how we lived. What did we do while living? What did we do in our life? God judges our whole life. Not just a moment. Not just the Polaroid snapshot. If you stay in the back, we got pictures, little Polaroid snapshots of. You know, that's not the whole life. That's just little glimpses of pieces of the puzzle of his life. It's just little moments of time. You see, we that are still living, we still have time. You have time to know your Maker. You have time to find God. I've heard it said that there are three verses to death's song. I'm not much of a singer. The one verse, the Lord giveth. Everybody can sing this verse. Everybody that's ever had a encounter with God knows that God giveth. And the Lord taketh away. That one is more difficult to sing. But until we can sing that verse, how can we possibly sing, "Blessed is the name of the Lord"? Amen. We have ups and we have downs, and God is with us through all those things. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He formed man with his own hand. Genesis 2, 7 also says, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, mankind is the only thing in all creation. God spoke, and there was firmament. He spoke, and there was oceans. He spoke the heavens into existence also. But mankind, he formed. Man is very special to God. Our body, our flesh, truly is made of the minerals that are found in soil. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Genesis 3, 19. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Has anybody ever heard that before? We come and we go. And what you do with your time is what life is all about. I tell you, Greg did some very wise things with his time. Oh, he found who Jesus is. And in that, I can celebrate. Amen. We can celebrate the life of Greg Hanna. I don't feel sorry. No, I feel sorry for the circumstances and the hardships that was, but I can be glad for the life of Greg Hanna. Amen. I'd like to invite you to join me. In fact, I'm going to need some help. Amazing Grace. Can you put the words to Amazing Grace on the... Would you stand with me? In just a moment, I'm going to sing this chorus. And then I'm going to pray a dismissal prayer and ask God's anointing and blessing on our fellowship together. And we'll have a time in the back. We have a catered meal. I hope you'll have time to come and spend and just talk for a little while we have a bite to eat together in fellowship and remembering and continuing the celebration of the life of Greg Hanna. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read this, or let's sing this song together. Would you join me? Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I see. Thank you. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would give your comfort, Lord, to these, the loved ones of Greg Hanna, the associates, the co-workers, the family members, the church associates, the people that are here, Lord. I pray that you would comfort our hearts, Lord, of the loss of our friend. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, over the times to come, over the grief that we bear. I pray that you would comfort our hearts, Lord, and that you would lead us in the paths of righteousness. Lord, that you would draw us, Lord, unto you. Jesus, that you would see us through, Lord, even these times in this life. I pray your will to be accomplished within us. Help us, Lord, to do that which is right. And help us, Lord, to be comforted by your Spirit. Lord, we ask in the precious name of Jesus. And now I ask, Lord, that you would bless both our fellowship together at this time and in this place and with this crowd, with this people. You would bless our time together in fellowship, that you would bless the food that we will partake of. And Lord, that you would have your blessing to be upon it. And Lord, thank you for this time together. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming. Again, there is a catering meal in the fellowship hall. I believe there's room for all of us. So I hope you'll have time to stay. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.